Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Good evening and welcome. Thank you for joining me here on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds. I am your host this evening, Evangelist Bill Benton. Welcome. Today is Monday, January the 28th, 2013. It is the last Monday of the first month of 2013. Please call someone, text someone, tweet someone, and let them know we are on the air, live right here on Internet Radio, Victory Against All Odds. I'm excited to be with you on this evening. For my first-time listeners, Victory Against All Odds is a radio talk show for the family. Our mission is to encourage people to become empowered with strategic life tools to overcome abuse, rejection, fear, abandonment, and oppression. Is that you? If so, please stay tuned and become empowered. So once again, I thank you for joining me on this evening. God bless you. Last time we were on the air, we touched on the spirit of rebellion. As we have stated, it is a new year, a year of divine change. But for the number 13 in itself represents the spirit of rebellion. It represents the spirit of rejection, and it also represents the spirit of backsliding. So if you were tuned last week, I asked the question. My question was, why do we rebel against the things we know to be right, and what does it cost us? What do we lose? If you missed last Wednesday's episode, I strongly encourage you to go back and pick up those nuggets. And if you did miss it, I just want to just recap just a tiny bit so we can move forward. As on this evening, we're going to talk about the spirit of backsliding. But just to touch on last week, we talked about if we decide that we are going to be a rebel, my question is, are we moving forward? Are we moving backwards? Or are we standing still? So that's the question that I want to pose. Because to rebel causes one to kick against the prick. It's to resist authority, which is really your definition of what rebellion is all about. Are we walking in the spirit of disobedience? And of course, you know, to be rebellious and to be disobedient can really be pulled apart and mean two totally different things. But then at the same time, if you are disobedient, then you are in the spirit of rebellion at the same time. And what about fear? That's another question. Are we rebelling because we are fearful or perhaps afraid of rejection? I'm just asking a question for you to ponder, for you to pray and consider as we each take a look at ourselves. Last week I had a guest on the show to help me with such a large topic, which we could just go on and on and on about. One of my guests was Dr. Lauren Dew last week, and he made a good point that We have a choice because we serve a God of love. We have a choice in all areas of our life. And so sometimes those choices may have negative consequences because we did the opposite of what our parents spoke or what our leader spoke. Leader could be that person of authority spoke, or ultimately what God spoke. Now, it's important that we understand the very phenomenon of what backsliding is, as every believer should be able to identify and counter the backward course in his or her spiritual life whenever this occurs. If you wish to determine the objective truth about spiritual backsliding, we should consult what? We should consult the truth, not our erroneous thinking, not based on what our church doctrine is, but based on the truth which is, of course, the Word of God. If we go to Hebrews 11, I'm sorry, 13 and 17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for what is for that is unprofitable for you. Now, the first thing that jumps out to me is, again, is we have a choice. We have a decision to make, and it says, submit yourselves. So that's not something that we pray to God to do for us, but we have to humble ourselves to authority, as the Word of God says. Now, just for clarity, what am I really saying? So let me just simplify that verse for you, really, what it's saying, because perhaps there are those who are not believers, and I am very sensitive to that. It says, Hebrews 13 and 17, it's really saying just simply this. It says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. See, they are accountable too. So I'm not here to tear down, but to encourage and to uplift. So they are accountable to God. So give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow, meaning don't kick against the prick. Don't be that rebellious child. Don't be a wayward child. Don't be the prodigal son. That would certainly not be for your benefit. In other words, it's saying it wouldn't be for your benefit for you not to submit yourselves to the one that watches over your soul. Now, the other side of the story is just simply this. We dwell in an earthen vessel, and therefore we also are accountable here on the earth. So we have to submit ourselves to those who have rule over us in the laws of the land. We have to obey the laws of the land. So that includes the smallest, simplest things that we take for granted. And what I'm really meaning is the laws that were set in place for your state, for my state. For example, the speeding law. You can't fast and try to speak in tongues if you were speeding and it says 70 and you're doing 90, you're doing 85. Wrong answer. So I am saying don't rebel, for you do have a choice. You have a choice in the matter. God has constituted various levels of authority under his ultimate authority. The purpose for all authority is to protect and bless those under authority. God established the authority of civil government to protect and bless law-abiding citizens from those that would harm or take advantage of them. That's why we have laws in place. When the government does its job, criminals are punished. Foreign invaders are kept at bay, and people can dwell in what? Peace. We all want peace. And to the extent that government leaders are corrupt or negligent, who suffers? We do. So let's go a bit deeper. And I believe I'm going to call her my co-host for tonight. I do believe she's in the studio. I'm going to open up her mic here. I wanted to switch the last part of what 13 represents. Since we are here, if we continue making wrong choices or we do not deal with the negatives in our life, we become stagnant. We become bitter. We become resentful. We become frustrated. We become depressed. We become angry. We become mad and disappointed. We become fearful of making decisions altogether or comfortable in being rebellious altogether. When we become complacent or have such a mindset because of our own choosing, we find ourselves broken. And if we continue on this road of rebellion, we find ourselves walking in the spirit of backsliding. And why do I say this? So let me explain just a little bit. And I pray that your faith is challenged, and instead of moving backwards or being stagnant, we move forward. Amen? Okay, so now that I've kind of did that review, I want to bring in, I think this is Prophetess Karen.
Hello. Did you want me to read those particular scriptures that you gave me, or did you read them already?
Okay. We're gonna dive right in. What I was doing, woman of God, is just kind of reviewing what we talked about last week on talking about the spirit of rebellion, and just kind of bringing them up to speed for those that may be listening that did not hear the broadcast on last week, and just giving them a little tidbit of what we talked about, how we get to a place ultimately of a backslidden state. Because what the Lord revealed to me is the spirit of rebellion. And the spirit of rejection is in the head and then the heart. The spirit of backsliding is the action that results from those two things. So it starts in the head, moves to the heart, and then we see the manifestation in the flesh. So that's where we get to the backsliding part. And the reason why I didn't touch too much on the spirit of rejection is because I did that episode already. So I really kind of want everyone to just go out there and go back to that particular episode, The Roots of Rejection. And and there you'll find some good nuggets, and then we can probably touch on some of that at some other time. But I really kind of wanted to just kind of get the other two out there, because it is a flow from the head down, and then it comes out. It starts in our mind, it enters into our heart, and then we see the manifestation, which is the backsliding portion of it. And so we know that a Christian's spiritual life is not a stagnant or unchanging condition. And I say this because it should always be moving. It's either making progress or you're stagnant. And if you're stagnant, or you start declining, going backwards. And I wanted to say that even talking to my listeners who may have been in a situation where you were abused, if you were in a situation where you were depressed, if you were a situation, I see you're back on. If you were a situation where you may have been molested, all the tools that we've talked about since 2011, you have to continue to use your tools, because you are doing the same. You are making progress. And if you're not making progress and continuing to use your tools and moving forward, then you're stagnant or you're going back the other way. So I need for you to still use your tools. I'm not just talking about myself using my tools that I have imparted into you, but you use the tools as well. Those tools that keep you moving, get you off of stuck street, get you off of unmovable boulevard. Use your tools. So in terms of just, you know, continuing moving forward, we must grow up spiritually to mature, to be a mature man and woman of God. And so as we're getting ready to, the woman of God is getting ready to read Ephesians 4, and 13. Do you have that for me?
Okay. Okay, Ephesians 4:13 and 14, the King James Version, says, "Till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature or the fullness of Christ, there henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in and wait to deceive." What I was going to say is that you can't give the enemy legal rights to come in, because I know I sent out a devotional today for my online ministry talking about you have to, you know, for possession, demonic possession, because sometimes it takes time to get to that particular point, but when you casting out particular demons or whatever out of a person, and I don't want to get too much off of the subject, but backsliding was probably the beginning of the where you get particular things attached to you, different spirits attached to you. It starts like that.
Oh, I dropped my call.
You have to cast out strong men. You have to cast out in order for deliverance to take place. Otherwise, the enemy is right to actually be there. So it's very important that we're mindful of the spirit of repentance. You always have to repent daily. So you don't give the enemy a chance to get in, because just a small crack can allow him to come in. And any minister, you know, just like you have your radio show, I have my online ministry. Any ministry that you have, you are accountable for that. God holds you accountable for that. So that means you can't let anything go. You have to keep an eye on it. Make sure that, you know, when you have guests on the show, you make sure it's screened properly, that they have the right spirit or whatever. Because
right.
It can, you know, you're responsible for, you know, what they say on the show. If they get on the show and promoting Satan or promoting witchcraft, of course, you know, and you don't say anything, you know, God holds us accountable, just like whatever someone posts on my online ministry. So it's just really important that we don't have the spirit of compromise either. And two, that we encourage one another. Because one of the points of backsliding is somebody's feelings was hurt somewhere. That's usually where it starts. It starts from hurt feelings and unforgiveness. And usually that's when a person actually gets upset, like brokenness, and a person gets upset and they turn away from God. But when you're feeling broken, when you're feeling rejected, it's not time to rebel. It's not time to be angry or bitter. It's time to turn to God, because God never forsakes us. You know, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And what we have to understand is Jesus, he became sin when he was on a cross. He was betrayed. He was heartbroken. He actually became sin. He was actually betrayed by one of the people that was in his inner circle. So, of course, he understands hurt feelings. But he also understood that he had to be by himself. I mean, because God couldn't be with him when he died. He just couldn't be with him at that time. So at that time, he just had to take on every sin, past, present, or future. Can you imagine the enormous amount of weight that was on his shoulders for him to do that? And when he took on that sin or whatnot, he took it on because of love. That's so important for us to love, in spite of what folk do, because it's not about us anyway. It's about Christ. you know, because I was dealing with that too myself, about people lying, you know, and that's one of the things that believers have to deal with, especially fivefold ministry, people depending on your offices or whatnot. You constantly have to deal with persecution and tribulation and trials, but you have to hold on. You can't, the enemy keeps throwing traps there. It's a lot of traps, a lot of snares there to get you to turn back to the lifestyle that you had before. But if the enemy isn't bothering you, he already got you. I mean, at this day and age, especially in this year of 13, if the enemy isn't snagging at you, and I mean every believer should be under some type of attack right now, because with this rise of the Antichrist spirit within, I mean, just within the world right now, there's such a rise of that hatred and that animosity toward all the things of Christ. I mean, you could talk about Buddha, you could talk about Hindu, you could talk about being Islamic in some circles, but you can't really talk about Christ. You talk about Christ, there's a problem at work or in schools or anywhere. There is such a problem with that. I mean, in anything of Christ, any of the laws of Christ, that would allow children, especially in schools, that would allow anyone to run toward Christ. It's a problem. They want you to promote all the things that are opposite of Christ. This is what this is talking about, that we have to have unity and faith and knowledge of the Son of God and to the perfect man and to perfect measure and then to have fullness in Christ. I mean, then you got all these people operating, so we don't get that. I mean, can you see how powers that be and the powers that be, you know, there are actually people out here in these particular secret societies, and we talked about that last week. You got secret societies, and a cult actually means hidden or secret, and you got really high-powered figures. In politics, I mean every high-powered component of society, entertainment, media, politics, banking, that all are geared toward this new world order type of agenda. And with this Luciferian agenda, which is Lucifer, which is light bearer, which was called the Illuminated One, which means actually the Illuminati, which is a secret society. It is connected to all these particular power structures that's here. It promotes Satan, and it actually promotes Satan in every sector of society, even with children. Even when you're watching cartoons, you'll be like, that's kind of demonic, isn't it? I mean, one time I was wondering, I was like, am I wrong? I was like, I keep seeing all this demonic stuff, you know, symbols and everything. And no, I'm not wrong. It's just that when your eyes begin to open and those scales start to fall off of your eyes, when you get to a point where you know what's around you, you see it everywhere. And a lot of people don't have the discernment. That is so key. The body of Christ is in a state of emergency because nobody has discernment anymore at the level that they should. And you got to really constantly pray.
I was going to say, that is one of the major weapons that we as believers need. One of our tools, our gifts, however you want to phrase that. Because something that you said earlier in reference to being led away, the Bible tells us that beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the errors of the wicked. but grown in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the word, just the verb led away emphasizes a group movement. So, you know, when you talk about the false teachers, they're not satisfied with just ambushing like one or two people. Now and then, here and there, they want to sweep a large group of people away from the correct doctrines of Christ. They want those who keep company with such people. Of course, we know they are in danger of being led astray. You know, and that is, of course, the trick of the enemy. Now, the other thing that you talked about was in reference to compromise, and that is one of the silent traps, I'm going to say it that way, if you'll allow me to, that the enemy uses for the believer today is because we tend to compromise what we know to be true according to the Word of God, not our thinking or a friend said it. And we know I was just blown away. I was in a service and I was a visiting pastor or apostle, and he was talking about you know, shifting, you know, the man or woman of God, and that you know, now this, you know, this man or woman of God is going to be walking as a chief apostle. And I said, the only chief apostle is Jesus Christ himself. So
yes, because
that's according to the Word of God. So
nobody has perfected any office. Nobody walks perfectly in prophet or apostle or evangelism. Christ is the only one that walked in all five of those particular ascension gifts perfectly.
Yes.
He walked
so
in all five.
He is the chief apostle.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so knowing that, you know, I'm like, okay, so certainly you're going to not compromise. Here we go again, compromise. But you're going to correct this because it is just the right thing to do. So if we don't grow in the grace and knowledge of God, then even the knowledge that we do have will become eroded over time and expose you to deception. So to me, that was one of those things where we ignore because we don't want to lose our friendship. This person has the ability to take us to the next level, whatever that thing. But see, the Bible warns us against spiritual stagnation, and which of course is the opposite of growing in grace and the knowledge of God and growing in holiness and pursue and looking diligently, lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up that should cause trouble. Now that, to me, that's a root that causes trouble because, you know, as an awesome teacher, apostle, walking, and you're teaching, you know, those that are under you, the unadulterated Word of God, and you've made this statement, here comes a wolf who comes in and says, I'm going to, now you're going to walk in the office of a chief apostle. And all of us are looking like, oh, no. Certainly she's not going to agree with that. He's not going to agree with that because that is not the Word of God. So I expected some correction to take place. But that didn't happen. So this is where we get in trouble because we don't resist sin. This is when our attitude of compromise takes place. And then we expose, you know, we expose ourselves to the sin and the consequences, like I said earlier, because we don't stand up for what we know is right. And the whole thing about backsliding that, you know, as we talk about this, is the spirit of deception, you know, that kind of underlines this whole thing and this downward trend. Mm-hmm. You know, you're slowly slipping back into those things that you used to do. And it doesn't even have to be that dramatic. It could be to the point, as I was speaking earlier to some of my listeners who have maybe, and I'm going to tie this into to the very essence of why I'm here. When we talk about, you know, those that have been abused and those who have been mistreated and domestic violence, and you become so bitter and angry, you know, that you start to like you said, spew poison and into the atmosphere, and then you charge God foolishly. Why did he allow this to happen to me? Well, guess what? When you get to the point where you're just bickering and complaining and murmuring, and you're always looking at the other person and not checking yourself, because when I first started, I said, this is, we're doing this because we need to look at ourselves. Then
Amen.
You are in a spirit of backslidness, because now you're charging God foolishly. It's you.
And here
it's
I was
you.
Seeing Romans, in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to start at verse 9. It said, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to the one another, and with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saint, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those, and don't curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be at the same mind toward one another, and don't set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be in your own wise opinion, and don't repay evil for evil. I'm going to stop at 17. Because what this is saying, that love is important. One of the things in the body of Christ is that the love is somehow missing, and it talks about it in the seven churches in the book of Revelation when Jesus was speaking to the Apostle John. One of the churches, they might have been hard workers or whatnot, but they didn't have no love no more. And that is very, very important. If you're not doing it from your heart, why are you doing it? It becomes legalistic and ritualistic. And that's what happened in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, with the people. They were offering sacrifices or whatnot, but they wasn't giving the best of what they had, offering sick animals with blemish. And that's why Jesus had to come, because he is the ultimate sacrifice, and that's why he had to come. Because, and I think a lot of people take for granted what Jesus did. He did that for us because he loved us. What God did, sent his son in human form to be the Messiah, the Christos, the Christ, to be for us, to die on the cross for us so we would have salvation, because sin was always lingering. And the law was actually the foreshadow, the shadow for what Christ is. And he didn't come to eliminate and eradicate the law. He came to fulfill it. The only thing is we're not under the Mosaic covenant, because we don't get stoned or killed for things. We have grace, you know, and a chance for God to have mercy and for us to repent. But sometimes people, like you said, get in a stagnant state to where they let pride and haughtiness get in the way, that they don't turn and really sorrowful for what they do, and they get in the spirit. That's how the spirit of takes root. It's like a root. I don't think it just happens like right away. Like you said, sin actually happens in the mind before it ever manifests in the natural, because it manifests in the spirit world, where you got the enemy that plots and plans with God's people all the time and bring them down. And then it's up to us to stay in prayer, to fast, and to ask other people to pray for us. We always got to have people in our circle that are going to be really willing to pray for us. Otherwise, you know, this fight is hard. This fighting hard. That's why it talks about Ephesians chapter 6. It gives us the tools for battle. And for us to call on in the name of Jesus these warrior angels to come and fight on our behalf, because this spiritual battle is real. And it is real. And I know that prophets know, prophets, especially prophets that are actually seers, know about this spiritual battle that's going on in the spiritual realms, that's actually the gates of hell, these particular demonic creatures or whatnot or influences are here on earth now. And it's very important that we remain prayerful because, you know, it's only going to get worse. The world is only going to get worse, and we got to have allegiance to Christ at all times. And like you said, there is no room for compromise in regarding kingdom business, no matter if it's your mother, your father, or whatever. And I know some people end up alienated from family, and I'm not saying that you can't love your family, but what I'm saying is sometimes it causes you not to be as totally sold out for Christ, especially if your family is not, you know, for Christ, they still in the world. Sometimes you can't, you know, like maybe you can go over for like holidays, go have dinner, and then probably leave. Because if you know if sinful things and immorality is going to occur while you're around certain family, it's just best because temptation, it starts in the mind. You know that this particular thing is going to make you weak. And Paul talks about this through the book of Romans, and I think it's chapter, it starts at 12, and it ends at the end of the book in 16. It's very important for us with our conscience. If we're going to be tempted, we can't be around certain things. Like, you know, Jesus ate with prostitutes and tax collectors and these particular people. But depending on where we are with our walk, some people can do that. But if you not, if you know that this particular, like if you were alcoholic, why would you go on a bar and you know that God had brought you out of that?
1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." And we know that, you know, because sin is rampant everywhere, and so we need to be mindful. And again, one of my questions that I put out there is, you know, what does the bride look like? You know. What does the spirit of backsliding look like? What does it look like in the body of Christ? What does it look like in those that are that we come in contact with on a day to day basis? Can you hear it because of your spirit of discernment? Yes. Can you hear it?
I think what it is gossip. A lot of times people come broken and wounded, which is very important. Come to church broken and wounded, looking for support, looking for love. And these are babes, from the mouth of babes, because Jesus talked about from the mouth of babes. Sometimes it's a babe that can actually give a word and actually sound an alarm about what's really going on. Because sometimes when you, because they're on the outside just coming in, and they get turned away because the love is in presence. You know, the love scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I mean, you could speak in tongues and you could prophesy, but if you have no love, I am nothing. It's so important that you have love for the people, because how are you going to evangelize and bring the people in if you're not being kind? Kindness, if you don't have the fruits, you don't know people by their particular offices and titles. You know them by the fruit that they bear. In Galatians chapter 5, 22-25, about the loveness, the kindness, the gentleness, the peace, you know, all this. And again, and among them there is no law. I mean, it's very, very important to have those fruits. I mean, because a man is known, you know, a person is, you know, a believer by the fruit that they bear. It's not that you, evangelist or whoever, deacon or whoever that you are, which I'm not putting down any of the offices, because in Ephesians 4:11-12, it talks about they're there for the perfection of the saints. Nevertheless, it shouldn't take precedence over love.
Right.
I mean,
which is what my opening question was, you know, God is love. And so I was talking about, you know, even last week when Dr. Dew was on the air, that was one of the questions, or one of the things that he proposed, is that it is a decision. And so even in the scriptures, we see, you know, the question, mm-hmm. even in Jeremiah, I think it's 8:5, it says, why then mm-hmm. has his people turned away in perpetual backsliding? They hold fast mm-hmm. to deceit, they refuse to return. You know, mm-hmm. and so it's a decision that we have to make, that we're going to serve the Lord with our whole heart and never look mm-hmm. back or turn after you put your hand in the plow. You know, of course, that's over in Luke, and that we be always on the alert for the spiritual deception in all mm-hmm. levels. And so that was the first warning for Jesus when he was here, he told, take heed that no one deceives you, over in Matthew 24:4. And that he, and there, of course, were various warnings. You know, it's just like a prognosis when we go to the doctor, if I can use that as an example. And I say that because, you know, the doctor may say, well, you know, if you continue, you know, smoking, mm-hmm. this is the outcome. You'll have mm-hmm. lung cancer. You'll have emphysema. So you've been warned that if you continue on this road, this is where you're going to end up. They're saying mm-hmm. as in earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus is saying the same thing. If you continue, mm-hmm. then that sin may about you are headed towards destruction. And so,
yeah, and
you know,
gotta be real. You're going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep it real.
He's pleading, especially in the book of Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm. Where are you going? You're going to hell. And people are like, well, that's being judgmental. No, the word is the word. It's saying in the word that the
Absolutely.
Wages of sin is death. And
yes.
some people have this doctrine, once saved, always saved. No, we have to repent daily.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's a call to
doctrine.
And I mean,
First John 1 and 9,
if
we confess with our sins, he is yes. faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. But then in Jeremiah, he's pleading again. He says, Jeremiah 3, he says, go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return.
Mm-hmm.
So if he says return, that means that you're going in the opposite direction that you once was. So to return means to come again. That means come again. Faithless Israel, declare the Lord, I will not look on you in anger, for I am merciful. We serve a God who is merciful and full of grace. Declare the Lord, I will not be angry forever. He says, I won't be angry forever, meaning that he was angry at one
mm-hmm.
point in time, because of your mindset, because of your ways, because you are walking in the spirit of disobedience,
mm-hmm.
you know. So he's saying, come back,
mm-hmm.
O faithless son. I will heal your faithlessness. Behold, I come to you, for you are the Lord our God. You belong to me. I chose you.
Mm-hmm.
I chose you, I picked you to be one of my own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we have to be mindful, and I've got like 10 minutes left, but we've got to be mindful that in all areas, you know,
mm-hmm.
of our life, that we are mindful that we are, again, using our tool, the spirit of discernment, to examine ourselves first, because I always say examine ourselves first. It always starts with us, you know, and not to think that we've arrived. You know, and of course, those of us that are mature in Christ, we would like to think that there are just certain things that we're mature that, you know, there are some things that just ought not, and I'm going to say it like this, ought not to be named among us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you've matured in Christ, there's just certain things that you just ought not be a name among us. There's certain things that we just ought not to do because we know better. It is just like when we, you know, we teach our children and we say don't play with matches and don't do this and, you know, teaching them that this
totally
is when they get up inside, they're 16 years old, you just don't expect for them to do those things because they're mature and they've been taught. Same thing. So why would you get to a place where you're stagnant? And that can very, you know, you've become so bitter and so angry that you don't recognize that you are charging God foolishly or charging others because of the state of mind that you are in or the condition that you're in or the state that you're in, lack of this and lack of that. You know, and this bothered me so because I recently ran across a situation where I could hear it so plainly that this person was really in a state of back, but, you know, they were so busy. And like you said earlier when we were talking about family, you know, you're going to lose out because you're trying to hold on something that God has control over, but because you won't get out of the way and allow God to do what he needs to do, he has them in a set place right where they need to be. You need to get you together and dig up some of the bitterness, the hurt, the anger, the resentment, the madness, you know, the rejection, the rebellion. You know, pull up your roots in your field that's being choked and allow God to take care of, quote-unquote, family. Let him do that. That's his job. Because you
and
can't help.
Among spiritual leaders, too, like, not too much on these Christian sites because they have rules that don't tolerate profanity and things. But Facebook, there was a guy that stated a particular question. He just asked a question just to generate some discussion among mature Christians and fivefold ministry leaders. And the people that don't know what that is, Ephesians 4:11-12 said that Christ said, I will give you some apostles, some prophets, teachers, for the perfection of the saints. But anyway, there were people actually using profanity where he had to say, come on now, you guys know better than that. That's not what it's for. It's to generate discussion for information. You shouldn't have to use profanity. But I think that if you call yourself a leader, you should present yourself as a leader because you're supposed to be setting an example.
You set aside,
And there's no reason for that. It's no reason for that, you know, and it was some I just discerned that I don't need to say anything because of it's the wrong spirit on there. And technically that a person can be right about a certain thing about the word, but if you got the wrong spirit and you're nasty and rude and haughty, because pride is one of the seven deadly sins, and so is wrath. And if you come from the spirit of wrath and you come from the spirit of pride, you feel wrong because your motivation is not trying to make sure that the person gets the information in good faith. You're doing it just to be seen. You got to have the right motivations. That's what I'm saying, to give information. You know, give, because everybody is not where you are on a spiritual level. And then you got everything, it doesn't come from the word of God. It comes from doctrine. Doctrine is man-made. Tradition is man-made. So that's why you have to use the word of God, because doctrine, you can't get into arguments about that. And that's another thing that leads people astray. They get into tradition and ritualistic legalism instead of focusing on God, because that's what the enemy wants. He wants divisions within the church, and division is another word for divination, which is witchcraft. And that's why so many churches are splitting, because of backsliding. You got the pulpit, that's, you know, leaders on a pulpit,
And not just in big mega ministries. I mean, it's even on a local level where you hear about churches splitting up because the pastor was caught in some type of sin, but backslidden, in which God restores
everyone. But one thing about it is that God doesn't want the blind leading the blind. You fall into
Definitely.
A ditch or a pit. So it's very important for people to be allowed to be admonished. And see, a lot of times in the body of Christ, people don't know the difference between discernment, admonishing, and judging. Judging is totally
yes.
different from discernment. I've seen somebody
yes.
just saying that that's judging. I was like, discerning, being discerning because a person has prophetic gifts and they can see what somebody's doing and is calling them to repentance because that they are a prophet and God gave that particular person a prophetic word. They're not judging that person. They're calling them to repentance. Hallelujah. Praise
yes.
the Lord that God has
yes.
given people the prophetic word, the rhema word, to be able to be manifested in the natural so a person can come back to Christ and don't go to hell. And then you got
Amen.
Admonishing where you're disciplined for immorality. You got to be because the word of God says we must pray and encourage one another. You must
yeah.
study the word and show thyself approved. And it's not. And
yeah.
then judging is Matthew chapter 7. And I think the other one is in Colossians about admonishing. We got to know the difference between the three. Admonishing,
yeah.
which is done in love to make
mm-hmm.
sure that leaders
mm-hmm.
are on point and leading clean lives. And then you have
yes.
judging, Matthew chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got discernment, 1 Corinthians
mm-hmm.
chapter 12, where you're
mm-hmm.
discerning. And actually,
yeah.
That's just like a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. That comes
mm-hmm.
from, and I mean, when a person rejects that, they're rejecting God. I mean, when they got so to where they totally have rejected God and God abandons them, then we get into
mm-hmm.
the reprobated mind, and that's Romans
mm-hmm.
chapter 1.
And that goes back to the spirit of rebellion.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So you see how these three work together, you know,
mm-hmm.
the spirit of rejection, the spirit of rebellion, and backsliding.
Mm-hmm.
They work together,
mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's one of the reasons why we definitely need the spirit of discernment and to be able to walk circumspect,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just to make sure that we are always in our word, you know, and when we do this, prophetess, we then, you know, can bring about a divine change, you know,
mm-hmm.
Not only in our personal lives, you know, certainly, you know, with all that, you know, we've been through, you know, on a personal level,
mm-hmm.
we know that divine change is to be transformed from what was to what is.
Mm-hmm.
And so what decisions are we making? And do they line up with the will of God for our lives? And that's the question I'm kind of closing out with. And if we're not saved, are we using those tools that promote progress in breaking the barriers in our life? And
mm-hmm.
and so we need to make sure that we're walking in a manner that is a blessing and not a curse. You know,
yeah,
and I remember saying that last
now.
Week.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people would humble themselves and pray and turn away from the wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will heal thy land. In other words, you got to turn away from wickedness in order for God to bring forth healing, blessings, and favor. You have to be repentant and turn. You got to turn away from wickedness. God is not going to reward anyone for being wicked. Wickedness is
right.
not rewarded. And then a lot of times, you got people, they say, well, I see people being blessed all the time. But see, there's people out here that sell their souls to wickedness, too. And,
Amen.
You know, and they make pacts. And this is real. They make pacts with the enemy for fame and fortune. But where do you think that they're going to go? I mean,
Amen.
Where is their internal damnation? It's very important that people know that, you know, God does deliver people when they practice witchcraft and torment because it was a woman that actually practiced witchcraft. She was on Joni Lamb, and she talked about how she allowed demonic forces to come in. She welcomed them into her body, and she was so tormented. In the beginning, it was good because it gave her power. But see, one thing about demonic forces, they always turn on you. It caused, her mind. She was being tormented in the mind. Remember that it starts in the mind, and she wanted all that power.
Yeah.
She got tormented in the mind and started doing drugs to be able to get comfort because her mind, she didn't have any peace. One thing about God, he gives you a peace that surpasses all human understanding and it guards your heart and your mind. But when you allow yourself to be open to things of the enemy, you don't have peace. You don't have joy.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't have no peace. And why would I want to live with knowing that I don't have peace because I have these material things that actually don't mean anything?
And, amen, it's not ever, it's not eternal. And so, I thank you, oh my God, for joining me this evening once again. And even as you were talking, we know that, you know, in just in kind of closing, the message on tonight is, you know, the conditions of the promise, you know, even in John 10 and 27, 28, and that we must keep on listening to the Lord and following him. And if we fail to do this, then we certainly can expect to have problems. And, you know, we need to make sure that he abides in us and that we're abiding in him and that that any branch, you know, that's not bearing any fruit, you know, we need to examine that. And so unless it abides in the vine, neither can we bear any fruit. And so if we're not abiding, then we know that we've got a problem because
you need
you know,
to prune those people.
Just,
you know, prune
just has weeds, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's time to prune them to cut those things off that are bringing you down. Because if you got dead branches on your tree, you know, it gets into the heart of the tree. And I remember I was speaking on a show one time, and I think you were there. It was this tree that was beside my house. And this particular tree was beautiful and everything, but the owner of the tree never pruned it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody that passed that tree, and this is in, God allowed, because I was reading John, that comes from John 15. I was looking at it, and, I mean, I was reading John at that particular time, and I just did not really understand the meaning of that scripture until when Jesus said you need to. The things that, you know, that they need to be cast into the fire. It's just some things that just you just don't need to have to be associated with. That tree
Absolutely.
Was a beautiful tree, but it just kept on, he didn't prune it, and so the limbs kept on falling down in our yard, and people would pass it and say, that tree is going to fall over. You know that tree was face down on the ground because, I mean, it was just a big rush of thunder, and I was like, everything okay? He said, yeah, this tree fell down because it was the branches that was attached to it. It actually got into the heart of the tree, all the way down into the roots of the tree, those dead things,
and
destruction to that tree. And it manifested in that tree, and it was face down on the ground, just stretched out, face down on the ground, you know, stretched out. So that is a manifestation in the natural of what can happen to us when we allow dead things to become attached to us.
Absolutely. So we must abide in him and he in us, so that we will never perish. And so that, but what happens is if we become unfaithful to grace, from grace or from Christ, and depart from the truth of his word, we become spiritually withered. You know, we fall from grace, which is the casting out of the branch, and we perish, which is to be thrown into the fire. So we still have a free will, which earlier I said when we opened, it's a decision. And because of that, we can take wrong decisions and sin. But we must always have to bear the consequences of what we do, which is what I also said earlier. So we must be mindful and always making sure that our tree has some good fruit, Not any fruit. But it could be rotten. It could be spoiled. So making sure that it bears good fruit. And that's mm-hmm. the most powerful point, is that it bears good mm-hmm. fruit.
Yeah.
And so we mm-hmm. must hold fast to our confessions and our hope without wavering. Mm-hmm. And for he who promised is faithful. So mm-hmm. therefore, we must continue to pray, read our word, and fast. And so I thank you again, woman of God, for just coming out and helping me, you know, dig into this and just kind of break it open and examine it under a microscope. And to those who would be listening to the recording, make sure, again, that we make sure that we take a good look, make sure we're not stagnant, make sure we're not declining, make sure we're not going backwards, but that we are always moving forward and moving forward in the things of God, you know. And in closing, I just want to say that I thank each and every one of you for joining me here on Victory Against All Odds. If you desire to be in touch with me, you may do so. And my email address is odds_against_@yahoo.com. Again, that's odds_against_@yahoo.com. Or you may call my confidential voicemail at 641-715-3900, extension 343-658#.
Amen.
You may leave an extensive, up to an hour voicemail. You can talk as long as you need, ask whatever questions. It is confidential. I will pray and meditate, go consult God, and I will get back with you, leave a number that I can call you back. There's no question that's too embarrassing, too shameful, too hard. If you care to write or send a love offering or sow a seed, you may do so by writing Victory Against All Odds, P.O. Box 26531, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27611. Again, that's P.O. Box 26531, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27611. And if you desire prayer, please contact me at either my email address, or if you desire to call the voicemail, the confidential voicemail, you can do so, and we will pray. God bless you, and remember, no matter what the challenge is, no matter what the test nor the trial, no matter how much you are battling or what battle you've been in, know that you have victory against all odds. God bless you. God bless you, woman of God. And to the listeners, I hope you were encouraged. I hope you were strengthened on this evening. Wish you all a wonderful evening and a good night. Have a blessed week. And you mm-hmm. as well, woman of God. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for your love, your friendship, your faithfulness. Mm-hmm. And I wish you Godspeed.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you hold yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me. And I'm forever grateful.
He came for you. He came to seek and save you.